Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie, and this is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
All right, hello.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare.
Where we, ouch.
Let's just pop in my elbow. Books to their movies.
Yeah. Do they do it right? We don't know. Hey, we think we might. We're on to a ending catchphrase, kind of. We have to perfect it.
I remember you telling me it, and I can't remember what it was. So
this book's been off script.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to figure out how to make it make more sense, though.
Yeah, because if the book hasn't been off script, we don't want to call it off script. But technically, but I feel like we have been off script.
I feel like all of them are, though. Like, okay, so I
that's have, true.
I say the closest one is Holes, right?
Yeah, but and even that
is off script. I don't think there's going to be a.
I think we just start. That's our catchphrase.
And it,
this book's been off script. Should we say this book, or should we say like at the end of this one? Should we go and Da Vinci Code's been off script?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Okay. That's what we're doing. Guys, we got our catchphrase.
Is been off script or was off script?
Oh, was off script.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us what you think. Is it good?
Which one's better? I'll post a little poll in Instagram.
Yeah. Or you can tell us you hate it. Are we going to start it now, or are we going to wait till season three? We have like three things left. And that'll give you guys a chance to give us better ones if you don't like ours.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, let's wait till three.
Okay. Kay. But that's our thoughts.
Yeah, that's where we're going with this.
But yes.
You tell us.
Yes.
Is this good or is this not?
Yeah. I'm Allie.
And I'm Bree.
And we're organized.
Always. We're professionals.
Yes. As you heard in, actually, it would have been just
Wednesday. Yes. Oh my God.
We're recording Da Vinci Code and our last minisode on the same night, so my voice is still crap.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I'm coughing.
What? In the 2 seconds from me starting a new recording and hasn't gotten better?
I know. So I'm sorry if I'm coughing. I'm trying to turn away from the mic when I do, and hopefully you can cut most of them out.
I think I can, except for the ones that I'm talking through.
Yeah.
Because there's been a few.
I will try not to cough then, but man.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Guess what? You're hearing Allie cough today.
Sorry.
And you're hearing my lisp still.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. So, I have a picture for you guys.
Wait, did you even...
Oh, did I say we're doing the Da Vinci Code? Season 2, episode 20?
I don't think you said what we were doing, but I also really can't remember anymore. Woo, we're doing the Da Vinci Code, guys.
Okay, I have a story. So
tell it.
Bree's been getting at me that I need to do more stuff for me, right?
She does.
And
guys, you should get at her too.
Just
Alyssa, John. Alyssa's really far behind on our stuff, so it'll take her a while, but
John's an active listener. He'll get at me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Those are the only two I know who listen.
I know. Alan listens, but he doesn't know me.
Yeah, he doesn't know you well enough to give her. Alan, you should also reach out. You're probably not friends with her on Facebook or Instagram, but reach out through the Instagram for Off Script.
Oh my gosh.
Or Facebook.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, so my story. So I've been trying to tell a story for
Alan,
2 hours now.
What would be cuter that she'll actually love? Send a video of Ashton and say, Allie, do stuff for you. and like have Ashton laughing or something. I just want to see another
video. I could tell. I was like, okay.
You're like, I don't care.
Oh, no. All right, gosh.
Maybe I should come over for dinner, Alan.
She's going through baby withdrawals right now.
I am. Okay.
Oh, gosh. Okay, my story I've been trying to say for like an hour.
You just went from 2 hours to 1 hour?
I don't know. How long have I been at your house?
Only an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So you definitely lied earlier when I cut you off for Ashton.
Gosh. So now my story is going to be like, everybody's like, oh my gosh, what is the story? It's really a nothing story. Goodness.
But also, guys, you should realize this is how we tell stories. So like we'll be talking to each other, but then we'll like diverge and go off on other things. So when she first got here, this is what she did. And then like, I feel like you got probably halfway through your story and you're like, you know what? I should say this.
Yeah, because then you started talking and then I went off on something else. We did the whole thing and I was like, never mind, I'll just save it for the podcast because then I can actually get through it. Still haven't freaking gotten through it. And it's really a stupid story. And everyone's going to be like, that's what we waited like this 10-minute conversation for? My gosh. Okay, let me tell you my story.
Hey, but then they'll know how much to get on you. For doing more for yourself.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, goodness. I was supposed to help host a baby shower today. Or I did. And I went right from Riley's T-ball game. And so I was like, okay, I'll be there in 20 minutes. She's like, no rush. You know, you don't have to be here till 11. I was going to get there at 10:40. So I was like, okay, I'll go get myself like some hot chocolate. My gosh. Let's try that again.
It wasn't that bad.
Okay, good. And so I got a really yummy one at Bigfoot yesterday. So I was like, I'm gonna go, I want that again, but there was none near me and I didn't want to drive all the way out of the way cause I only had 20 minutes. So I went to Starbucks and I don't really like their hot chocolate, but it was my only option. And then they didn't have the drive through. The one it led me to was one inside a Safeway. And I was like, oh my gosh. Which ended up being okay because I had to buy stuff for the party anyways, but whatever. And when I'm standing there, I see that Starbucks has brand new little coffee cups that you can buy. Mm. And I love their plastic cups.
Yeah.
And so not the ones with the straws, but the like coffee ones. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like it looks like a... Like if I ordered a hot chocolate.
Oh.
Have you never seen those? Okay. I have one that I use all the time. And I was like, but I always have to, you know, take it out of the dishwasher and hand wash it. So I was like, I'll just buy more.
Okay.
So I got one. It's this pretty purpley blue one. And the top is like shimmery.
Ooh.
It's so cool. So I was walking around the store shopping for the party. And I was like, I really want another one in a different color. So then I went over. And they're like $2.
Wow.
Yes. And so... I went and I got another one and I'm like talking to the barista and I'm like, you know, I'm just like, probably shouldn't, like, I don't need it, but I want it. And she's like, yeah, that's what I've been thinking about these ones, which is the ones with the straws. Mm-hmm. She's like, cause they change color. I was like, oh, what? So those are only $3. So I got one of those too.
It changes color?
Yeah. It needs to be like, cold water.
Oh.
And then it turns pink, so I drink it and my brain thinks I'm drinking pink lemonade and then I get sad because it's stupid water. But I've drank two of these today.
Hey, I'm proud.
I know. I'm
Did
horrible.
You download can you download
no,
the water
it's,
llama?
It's oh. not a I know. I need to find a different
That's
one
really
though.
Really sad.
How does it work?
You're gonna look at it and be like, damn, you have not drank any water today. Oh look. Oh, I just cleared my notifications.
Yeah, Android, if you...
Look, flight sickness and kidney stones with a proper hydration routine.
Mm. So Android users, help me out. Is there a water app that you love? Oh, you're filling up the llama.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
And so the little surfboard llama I sent you yesterday...
Yeah.
...was because I got like 84% of my goal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to find one.
Today, it popped up. And asked if I wanted to pay for the subscription. And I wasn't going to. But, like, the lifetime one was $3.99. I was like,
what?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you just pay $3.99 once and then you have it forever?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I would do it.
And I found out that the app was made in the Ukraine.
Oh.
And so, like, when I saw that, I was like, I will pay the $3.99 for you guys. And so now I can, like, it has reminders, so it'll pop up and, like, remind me every hour, like, hey, are you drinking enough water? Or, like, earlier today, it told me, it was like, did you know if you don't drink enough water, that can cause bad breath?
So it threatens you.
I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I gotta drink water. But yeah, and then you can also you can do green, like I was gonna say just the green tea, but you can put like the other things that you drink in here too.
And does it calculate how much water is in them?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe it probably just counts as drinking a liquid. I would think. I don't know, because I haven't put that in, because I only paid for this like 2 hours ago.
Okay.
And there's challenges you can do. So there's a 10-day challenge to like escape caffeine. Capuchin. Because it goes for like animals. So a 10-day T-Rex. No cheat cheetah. Weight loss sloth. And like all this.
Water llama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sad. It's not. I don't know.
That's a bummer.
Thing that pops up is called Plant Nanny. It wants me to take care of and water my plants.
That's the one that I wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that one had way too expensive of a subscription.
I'm so sad. Tell me a
good water tracker.
Yeah. Oh, this one kind of looks fun. It's fishies.
That would be fun.
All right, I'll find one. Welcome to our 30s.
Yeah.
No, I remember Riley had a play date with a mom. With a mom, with a kid, and I went with and chatted with the mom, and I shared how, you know, like I wasn't good at drinking water, and she was like flabbergasted. I mean, she was a nurse too, though, so she knew the health reasons too.
Yeah,
and she's like, I drink like 100 ounces a day, and I was like, how do you do that? And she has not reached a play. She has not reached out to have another play date because I'm sure she thinks.
She's like, oh, unhealthy.
Yes.
And not have my child around that. It's funny because my naturopath was telling me that I should drink. My goal should be 64 ounces. But in the Water Llama app, you put your weight. Mm-hmm. And based off of your weight, it gives you your goal. My goal is like 72 ounces.
Oh, no.
I was like,
well, okay, well, let me know, people. I need a good water app. So yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my story. That was my paint your picture 17 minutes later.
Well, we've gone on many tangents.
Yes, we have.
So.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Da Vinci Code. A murder inside the Louvre and... Oh, okay. I was like, what the heck? That doesn't make sense. Okay, a murder inside the Louvre and the clues in the Da Vinci paintings lead to the discovery of a religious mystery protected by a secret society for 2,000 years, which could shake the foundations of Christianity.
What?
Wow. Author Dan Brown, director Ron Howard, screenplay writer.
Whoa, Akiva Goldsman?
Sure, yeah. Audiobook reader Paul Michael. I don't know. He did the accents really good, but
oh, but the story he did bad.
I don't know. It was just not.
He was boring.
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing super special.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Paul. Okay. The book came out March 18th, 2003. The movie came out May 19th, 2006. That is a 3-year difference.
Mm-hmm. Which first?
I watched it first. You told me to.
Yeah. I'm actually intrigued to find out which one you like more.
Me
because
too.
You did not like the movie.
I didn't like either of them. So, but we'll get there. Which one for you?
I read it first.
Okay.
Yeah. Initial thoughts.
This is my least favorite one that we have done. Like, I would rather read and watch Carrie again. Yes.
Hey, this is your Marley and me.
This is my Marley and me.
Why?
It had everything I don't like.
Okay.
Like, I don't like conspiracy theories.
Even fake conspiracy theories?
I'm sure there was an element of truth in the, hey, this I'm author was
behind this
yes.
one though. I'm like, I like it.
Yes. I don't like murder mysteries can be fun, but I mean, that's not my, that's not what I go to. Like, it's not my go to. I'm like,
yeah.
And then it's just too complicated. Like, I just wanted to enjoy a book, and it's like, like, I don't know, all these like paintings and like, I know nothing about art. And then it was like, me growing up a Catholic, even though I'm not anymore, like, I was just like offended. And it was just like,
I'm a Catholic too, and I'm not offended at all.
I don't know. I was just like, it's just not, it was not my cup of tea, and I just didn't like it. And like, I honestly, I watched it first and then I read it, and then I was gonna rewatch it to have my in my head. Nope, sorry guys, I did not, could not. No, no, I'm very happy to be done.
Do you think if you actually read the book, it would have helped though? Like, no. We talked about with the, like, how they had the codes and everything.
Oh, like for understanding more?
Yeah.
Maybe, but.
Because like, it got to a part where it was showing the chalice and the point or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, they're probably just saying what happens before and then like continuing on to the next point. So they didn't even like explain, like, okay, so it's a little triangle.
Well, I mean, they did explain it. Did it explain it in words in the.
No.
Oh, then no, they did explain.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I was worried about that because there were quite a few symbols that I was like.
No, yeah, they explained it.
Okay.
But it made good. It, he explained it like it was written. Like it sounded like it was written in there.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like it. I was going in. Awesome. I was like, I love National Treasure. This is a scavenger hunt. Figure it out type of book. No. It was like, no. No. Let's do the podcast and be done with it. How do you feel?
Me? This is one of my all-time favorite books. I love this book so much. It was my first introduction into, like, a mystery, a scavenger hunt, and all of that. And when I read it when I was a kid, oh my gosh. It blew my mind how things got put together. And I was the person reading it who, when they were like, this is a code, I was like, that's not a code. Or like with the numbers, I was like, yeah, it is random. I can't figure anything out with it. And then they get to why the code or why the numbers are important. And I was like, wow. So
I will give the author props that they are super smart, because I mean, like, to come even make that up because it's not just like made up and doesn't make sense, it's like made up and explained so it does make sense. So that's really impressive.
That's true.
But
well, that and the conspiracy, like, if he's not,
yeah,
why did we pick it? Because I love it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gosh,
it's one of my favorites.
All right, it's time for Allie's Super Fun Facts. Okay, boom.
I should just leave it like that this time.
You should. All right, go.
Okay.
Let's keep going. okay, so number one, to protect both the fabric of the building and the works of art it contains, the production uses the Louvre Museum in Paris was carefully controlled. For instance, no equipment was allowed inside during operating hours, so film took place at night. The crew were not permitted to shine their lights on the Mona Lisa, so a replica was used. No blood or mysterious writings were permitted on the wood. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I would hope.
So when they needed those scenes, they were shot at a different studio. And in the end, 5 replicas of the Mona Lisa were used.
That's actually super interesting.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate my fun fact.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that. That's cool.
Okay. All right. Audrey Tautou? How do you say it?
I would say Tautou.
Tautou?
Yeah, I think.
Sophie, basically.
Yeah.
She revealed that during her audition, she asked if she could take a picture with Ron Howard and Tom Hanks to prove she'd actually met them.
Cute. She's like, I did not get this. Can I get a picture with you guys?
Right. Okay, number three. There's a gargoyle spied by Sophie inside the Roslyn Chapel that is molded after the producer and director Ron Howard's face.
Oh, that's funny.
Cute. Number four. Ron Howard first envisioned choice of the role of Robert Langdon was Bill Paxton.
Why do I know that name?
I know. I do, too. I don't know. I didn't look him up.
Ah, oh, he's in Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's also in Titanic. Yep, that's how you know him.
Paxton was interested, but he turned down the role because of scheduling conflicts.
Oh, dang.
Russell Crowe was then seriously considered for the role, but ultimately Howard decided on his longtime life friend.
Okay.
Longtime friend, Tom Hanks. The other actors were Ralph Fiennes.
Rafe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman and George Clooney.
Oh, my gosh. If any of those three would have been cast, woo! I might. Oh, I can't say that.
Might not recast.
No, I didn't recast.
Okay.
All right. I think Rafe would have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The self-chastising scene of Silas had to be done in one take using different camera angles because Paul Bettany actually whipped himself to make it more realistic.
What?
An extra camera was pointed at his feet that cramped. That was real pain. I know.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? That's like some dedicated acting.
Whoa. No way. I love Paul Bettany as this is one of my favorite roles of his.
This is the only role of his I know.
He's Vision.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I see it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That just made me like him a lot.
Yeah.
Like, who? Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Damn. I still have that movie rented. Maybe I should go just watch that scene to
I know, I kind of want to also.
You know when you watch it,
you just assume, oh, it's acting, it's fake.
Exactly. That's all I kept thinking. That probably means he also wore the... Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know about that. I won't think that. That was like digging the... Why? The...
The chalice. Nope, chalice.
Whatever, the barb... The
yeah,
the thing in his I don't know. That was deep. I don't know if that would have been real, but the whipping, ouch.
Ah, sir,
no thanks.
You might have become one of my favorite actors for that.
Should have won an Oscar for that.
Yeah, damn.
Okay,
good fun facts.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's begin. How do you say it?
Saunier?
Saunier.
Is how I say it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how they said it. Saunier. Yeah. Comes running in and takes a famous painting off the wall, which causes the lock-in gates to activate. So, he got locked in the...
Yep. The in place. The Louvre.
Yep. Silas comes and shoots him through the gate. We don't know it's Silas yet, but...
Yes. It's the ghost.
For easier understanding. Yeah. I just wrote his name.
Yeah.
It's discovered that Silas killed three other secret holders.
Uh-oh.
Silas got the info he needed from Saunier and he left him to die. But this gave Saunier time to do what he needed to pass on a message.
How bad would Silas feel? Man, I mean, it's kind of good that he didn't kill him right off the bat because he needed the information he left behind too. But
it's this is... Why bad guys are stupid.
Yeah.
Why don't they just finish the job?
Yeah.
Why? Every time a bad guy fails in a movie, it's because they're ha ha ha, and they think they're better than the good guy, and the good guy comes and wins.
Well, his problem in this point was his faith in God is what stopped him. So he was okay, I should probably... I gotta go atone for my stuff that I've just done, Ken. Gosh. I'll leave you.
So God get in the way to die instead of just ending his pain. Okay, good one.
I wish the whole book talks about Silas having red eyes, and so I really wanted him to have red eyes in the movie, but instead they just had him have white eyes. And I'm like, I get it, it's because he's albino, but how creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see a creepy man, not
yeah,
just an albino dude. Then his whole backstory makes sense why he was beaten everything.
Yeah.
The other thing that I did not like that the movie did, I like in the book that when Silas is asking for the secret, all we know is that Sonya lied. That's the only thing.
Yes.
It doesn't tell you what he said. All it says is that he said what he knew he had to say because it was the lie that they had all trained to say. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. In the movie, Sonya just goes, "It lies beneath the rose."
Well, I mean,
I get why they did it.
They really can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it.
There's a scene for that. But, like, they could have cut or something. They could have done it creatively, but I get why they didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. All right. And then we're introduced to Robert Langdon, who is a famous professor and author.
Professor.
When it comes to art and symbols, and but he's very controversial. So he's like, end of the day, he gave like a lecture. He's in his hotel room in the Paris FBI. I don't know what they were called, so that's what
DCPJ.
Okay. All right. Comes knocking on his door and
it's true crime.
Okay, sure. Comes knocking on his door and shows him a picture of Sonya dead, and they're like, "You need to come with us." That's my French. Is that good?
You need to come with us. You sound like Dracula.
Sorry, France.
Oh no.
And when they were discussing Sonya, he admitted that they did have a meeting plan that day, but he didn't show up, and this was their first ever time they would have been meeting.
So in the movie, we first see Langdon giving his talk to the college students, and I really like, okay, well, first off, I don't like that the book that he's promoting is female symbology. In the book, he is super big into it, but like the book that he's currently writing is all about the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the case in the movie at all. I've got words, but we'll get there. But Isis in the book becomes a very big character and a big part of the story because she's a goddess of something. She's a female goddess, essentially. And at least in the movie, she gets mentioned. And I liked that. I was like, good little nod for everything you're about to fuck up.
I wonder which one Brie likes more.
No, I'm kind of being very obvious right off the bat. And then, also, you want to tell me why the cop comes to him at his book signing?
I know.
And then, like, has a full-on conversation with him about this dude's murder right in the middle of the store.
In front of all these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And showing pictures of the crime scene, too. I'm like,
maybe they do it different in France.
How's it done in France?
French.
They're like, man, I don't care. I was the whole entire time. I was like, what is this cop doing? My next note is that I really liked that in the movie when the French were talking to each other, they spoke French, and like in the book, it says they were speaking French, but then it told us what it was in English for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But I love French, and I'm trying to learn it on Duolingo and just listening to them. I should have been paying more attention.
Yes, you should have.
I was reading. I just read the captions, but I should have practiced.
Yeah.
Damn it.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I was sitting there listening going, I love that French accent.
Oh, man. No, this is a funny thing. I have to watch movies with captions on, mm-hmm. right? Because just ever since Riley was born and we had to listen
quiet,
and now I just always do. Mm-hmm. So I always read the words when the show's going on. I hate reading the words when it's a different language, which is weird. I know it's odd. Like if I'm doing it with English already, I think it's just because like English, you're just verifying you're hearing everything right.
Yeah.
But I have to actually pay attention. So I could I was putting away laundry when I was watching this movie.
Oh yeah.
So I had to actually stop and
pay attention
the whole time.
Yeah.
During the French parts. Did not enjoy
damn
that.
Them.
I know.
That's
damn
what
them,
did
be
it.
Accurate. Okay. So the way this book is written too, and the movie does it really well, is they jump like in between.
Mm-hmm.
They jump kind of like Cujo and all that. They mm-hmm. jump in between mm-hmm. different characters.
They follow like what? Six characters? Five or six. Silas, Langdon, Sophie, Teabing, Fash.
And I did like that because like we weren't just following the groups. We were following the people. So like even though Sophie and Robert are together for most of the story, we would get it from Robert's point of view one time and Sophie's another time. It was just, I really enjoyed how they did that.
Yeah. Honestly, it was good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep. Okay. So now we're back to Silas and he calls the teacher and lets him know that the four men have been killed and he knows where the keystone is. And, as Bree said, readers, we know that Sonier told a lie back at the thing, but he thinks it's the truth. And the teacher tells him to go to the cathedral where it is right now and get it. And he's like, okay, but first I must repent for my sins. And goes and beats the crap out of him, where we find out he was really whipping himself.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, look, there's your fun fact.
There's my fun fact.
Yeah, that happens. I have no notes here.
So Robert was brought to the Louvre where Sonier? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Body was. This is where he met Fash, who is in charge of the case. And we find out that Robert is terrified of elevators and small places because he fell in a well as a kid. The only reason I even put that in here is because of the movie, like,
made
fixated
it so
on that. So.
Yes, this is one of my notes because I didn't even remember that this was a thing. I was like, why is he so claustrophobic? Why is this like Sophie puts her hands on his head to relax him and like all of this? I was like, this makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. And so like they barely mention it in the book, but yet in the movie it's like
it's
a million things.
Yeah. He doesn't want to get on the elevator like in the book. When they get into the armored car, he freaks out and has like a panic attack with Sophie. And then when they're on the plane, T-Bing's like, wow, I was surprised that you actually handled yourself well on the plane.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Why is this something that gets fixated on when everything else got ruined?
Like that would have been a note I wouldn't even have put in our notes except for the movie screwed it
the
up
so bad.
The
movie made it such a, yeah, yeah. It was such a character, like, what is it called? What am I trying to say? Character
different,
maybe.
I don't know,
like personality character trait.
Okay,
character trait that the movie made a thing.
So we meet Bishop Aringo Rosa, who is someone who Silas works with. He's happy that the four people are dead because they were threatening his church, the Opus Dei, which was getting bad media. They were just they're not doing good things apparently. And then it jumps back to Silas, who's still torturing himself, so that's cool.
I feel like we didn't meet Aringo Rosa until a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't think we did.
Yeah, I'll bring up that note when we get there.
So back to Robert, was brought to the crime scene and now he sees Sonia's body was laid out naked and there was like a message in blood and invisible ink. And Fash is asking what all these different symbols mean, and yeah, it's just, it's like, I'm trying, it just, it's and, so, yeah. So, not quick, but like, you feel like this needs to keep going, but then the next part is a different character. So like, I feel like when I was taking notes, I was like, there'll be like one line. I'm like, that's the whole, everything that happened in this section. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not following you.
Okay, so like right here, they brought to a crime scene. His body was there. Fash was asking what it meant. That was it. And then I can't continue it because then the next thing is another character.
Now I'm with you. Because I didn't really get into the symbols.
Right.
Okay.
Until the next thing.
Okay, I'm with you now.
I could have reorganized everything, but
I wouldn't have followed the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have no notes.
Okay. So then, now we jump to this new character.
Yep.
A sister nun and works at the church where Silas is going.
Oh, yeah. So see, there's way more than the six that I was trying to say.
Yeah, but there's like the main six. And
yeah.
Then there's a couple extra.
Yeah, that get thrown in.
And she's woken up by her priest saying, okay, someone's coming and I need you to just let them in tonight. Like, he called her. And she's like, oh, that's very strange. Like, he's never done this before, but okay. And that's the whole part there,
that's too. The part. Yeah. And that happens in the movie.
Okay. So Robert and Fash were talking about what all the symbols mean. And Fash says that he believes Sonia was trying to tell him who killed him. And Robert's like, no, that doesn't make sense. He would have just written his name. Because, duh. And because something was going on where they clearly knew each other. Like, some of the clues were pointing out that the shooter and Sonia knew each other.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a woman named Sophie comes. And we find out that she's working for, like, cryptology with the police department. And she let Robert know that he had an important message from the embassy. And he took the phone and dialed the number, but it was Sophie's voicemail. And she's like, no, just type in the code. It's yours. And turns out it was warning because he's in danger.
Okay. One of the things that you didn't put in properly here is that she tried to give him her phone in the book. But Fash, for some reason, was like, no, use mine because... Oh, I think it was because it was a protected line.
Yeah.
He's like, with a call like that, you don't want it to be on that. So he made the call. In the movie, Robert just uses his own damn phone. He gets the phone number and pulls his phone out of his pocket and walks away to make the phone call. I was like, hold on.
That's important because it comes up later.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Okay.
Okay. So now we are learning the backstory of Silas. And he had a drunk for a dad, and he ended up beating up his mom and killing her because she gave birth to an albino kid. And so he beat up Silas, too, but Silas finally stood up for himself and ended up killing his dad. And he ended up getting arrested because he was beating up and killing a few other guys. I don't remember why.
I think it was just because they were
picking on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he woke up on a missionary's doorstep who we find out was the bishop, just, you know, back when he was a missionary, not a bishop. And Silas joined his church and he was given the name Silas because he couldn't remember what his real name was. I skipped a whole section. Hang on. So he was in prison before he woke up on the missionary's doorstep. Oh. He was in prison for 10 years and an earthquake happens and like breaks the wall down and he breaks free. So then meets up with the bishop. And Silas was given his name because this was the same story of Silas in the Bible where he was locked up and an earthquake happened and he was set free.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it jumps back into the present time and Bishop Aringarosa is agreed to the speaking with this teacher not to talk to Silas until they collect the key stone because everyone's safety. No one can figure out who anyone is that way.
Mm-hmm. That happens just later in the movie. Sorry. You're fine.
So back to Robert. Mm-hmm. He made an excuse that there was an accident at home and he needed to use the restroom to clear his head. And there he met up with Sophie and she showed him a tracking device that was in his jacket. And he's being watched and he's the number one suspect in this murder right now. And he's like, what the heck? I haven't done anything. And Sophie shows him the official thing that Sonia wrote, which ended with P.S. Find Robert Langdon, which is why he's the number one suspect right now. And Sophie shares that Sonia was her grandfather, who and his whole message had secret codes in it, like P.S. is Princess Sophie, which is her nickname, and the random numbers were to make sure a cryptologist was on the case, and... The way he was laid out was like the Da Vinci code. The Da Vinci code.
Was it the man.
The man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drawing. Yeah. And
or like the something of man.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but yes.
Yeah.
Which you would think he would make it a little bit more obvious that he's not trying to frame Robert Langdon. I mean, I guess he knows that he's dying, but. You would think he would be like, oh, if I write it like this, it's going to make it seem like he did.
Yeah, but maybe he was like really about to die. And that was like the last he's like, this thing is all I gotta do.
That's true. He probably ran around everywhere before.
Right.
You're good point. So in the book, it makes sense how the cop slipped the tracking device in his jacket, because when they were at the hotel room, he like grabbed the jacket for him to like be like, here, have this. How did he do it in the middle of the store?
I don't know.
At the signing without Robert noticing.
Right. I mean, how do pickpocketers do anything?
Good point. Good point. And he's a cop. Maybe he got trained on that.
Yeah.
And my next note is not here yet.
Okay. So, Fash was talking to his team about how Robert isn't onto them yet, but then he gets a phone call from cryptology department saying that something's off with Sophie. That's all I got for that part.
That kind of happened.
Okay.
Yeah. The guy came up and was like, Fash, Sophie wasn't sent here by blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And so Sophie, back to them, tells Robert that she needs to get to the embassy, or he needs to get to the embassy.
I need to get there. I need to see.
So it's your embassy. Until they prove him guilty, because Fash is like, you're my man. You're going to spend all these months in jail until, you know, your lawyers prove otherwise, versus, you know, being good cop and being like, okay, you know what, maybe it's not you type of thing.
Yep.
Because it looks better arresting someone than not.
Yep. So that kind of happens. But the thing is, in the book, she's more so like, okay, we're going to split up so that you can just get to the embassy. Whereas in the movie, she's like, we need to get you to the embassy and then like take their sweet time.
Yes. So back to Fash. He was getting caught up with who Sophie was, and they noticed that the tracker, because he's in like the room with all his computer guys.
Yeah.
And the tracker is like getting closer and closer to the window, and then it just falls out the window. Yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, he jumped.
What a crazy dude.
Right. And then it jumps to Sophie's and Robert behind the scenes, and reality, she put the tracker in soap and threw it out the window into a truck.
Yep, that happens.
Yep. Silas was going on about how he was doing God's work. And so he gets to the church, and the nun offered to show him around, because, you know, the reason he was there is because he's so interested in the church, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, no, thank you. Or he said, no, thank you. I'm going to go pray by myself, and then I will just look around and I can lock up when I'm done. And she decided to spy on him because she felt like something wasn't right. Like, he's being real sketchy.
This happened when we already just talked about it. There's a second part for the nun and Silas, but the next one that you're going to talk about is what happens next in the movie.
Okay.
When she...
Yeah. So Sophie and Robert were discussing codes. You got more?
I actually have a note about the nun thing, though. Because when that happens, Silas flat out asks her about the rose line. And it's like, where is the rose line? Whereas in the book...
Oh, yeah. He has to be very sneaky.
Yeah. He's not being like, where's the rose line? He's like, oh, I just want to go and pray. And then he goes and finds it himself.
Yes. So Sophie and Robert are discussing codes, and they came to the conclusion...
It's funny, as I could have put that in the next bit, but whatever.
That's okay. They came to the conclusion that the numbers were not just random. It was an anagram for the Mona Lisa. And so Sophie has a memory of how she hated the Mona Lisa, and her grandfather always brought her to see it.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, I guess this is where I'll say, on their way out, Sophie's like, do you mind? And she goes and says goodbye to her grandfather, basically. She goes and, like, looks at him. Whereas in the book, she was like, that's where my grandfather is lying dead. I don't need to see that.
Right.
Like, it makes a little bit of sense. Like, I get wanting to say goodbye, but do you really want to see him?
Naked.
Murdered? Yeah. You go naked, I go murdered. I mean,
the mix. Okay. So then we're back to Silas, and he's like looking for the key at the rose line, which was the clue that the four guys,
everyone gave,
told him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It lies beneath the rose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And Sophie gets, the black light pen from wherever it was with her grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And ran into Robert, like, because she was trying to solve more of the clue, and he's supposed to be going to the embassy. Mm-hmm. They ran into each other, and
because Robert doubled back, he realized, he was like, oh shoot, we're missing this, and he figured a piece out, so he ran to go tell her.
So he asked her if she's ever seen the PS anywhere else before, and she has this memory of finding her key of her grandfather's that had a PS on it, and she was told she'd get that key one day if she kept it a secret.
Ooh, keep it a secret. That didn't happen in the movie. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Okay. So now we're at Fash, mm-hmm. and he called the embassy to try and figure out what Robert's message was, and they found out that he didn't get a message because that's like a way outdated phone service and they don't do that anymore type of thing. And he redialed the number that Robert called on his phone, and he figured out it was Sophie's message.
That did not happen in the movie because Robert used his own phone.
Yep.
Wow.
Back to Sophie and Robert. They go to the Mona Lisa, and he has a flashback about him teaching about it and all about Leonardo da Vinci and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty interesting. That was like one of the only like learning bits of this book that I found interesting. So there were 6 words written on the glass case, and Robert solved the puzzle super quick. Sophie was super shocked, and all of a sudden the guard comes and points a gun at them.
That didn't happen in the movie.
Did not. So we're back to Silas. And he broke apart the ground and he found a tablet with the words of mm-hmm. Job 11. And he looks up this verse and it's basically like, you'll go no further. And he realized he was tricked. And the nun saw all of this and realized like, oh, it's happening. And she ran to her quarters and grabbed an envelope that she had hidden under her bed.
Yes, that happened in the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're back to Sophie. And she figured out another clue. And it led them to another Da Vinci painting. And she found a key behind it. The one that we talked about earlier when she was younger. And she held the painting hostage, threatening to stick her knee through it. And like knowing that he wouldn't shoot a painting millions of dollars worth. And they got away.
So the painting was the Madonna of the Rocks. And I'm upset about this because in the book, like Allie just said, Sophie is the one who figures out the code to get them to Madonna of the Rocks. In the movie, Langdon starts like looking at the scrambled letters and coming up with like demons, blah, 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 blah. And then Sophie's like, oh, because he says something about rocks. And then she goes, oh, Madonna of the Rocks. And then
that's why you're upset.
Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, why? Why are they making Robert the person who's like, just because he's like so. Also, in the movie, he has like, they called it basically a photographic evidence. Photographic memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also read a fun fact that this scene with her like having the painting hostage is a deleted scene.
Oh,
yep.
I wish they kept that in.
I know. I don't know why they didn't.
Yeah.
So the nun, back to her, called all 4 members of this secret society and confirmed that they were all dead. And then Silas comes and kills her because she won't tell him the information he wants.
Yep. That happens in the movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So now there's a car chase going on their way to the embassy. And Sophie has a memory of her grandfather doing a weird ritual, which she decided she wanted nothing to do with him after she saw him doing stuff. Find more about that later. I don't blame her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we find out the embassy is blocked because they assumed they were going to go there. And then they get a car chase being chased back the other way.
They get a car chase.
They get another car chase.
Yeah, that happens.
So Sophie shows Robert the key and they need to get out of the city. And so they cause a diversion with a taxi and they get on a train and leave. Or they were planning on getting on the train. Did they get on the train?
No.
They just bought the tickets.
They bought the ticket as to divert.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like a taxi diversion, a train diversion, mm-hmm. and then they stole a car.
That did not happen in the movie.
So now we are back to the bishop and we learn details about why he doesn't like the Catholic Church, because they've gone soft and they're forming to the new world. So like approving of things that the Bible did not approve of and all this stuff.
And also going away from the self-torture.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if they actually kept that?
I don't think
I was just going to say I wouldn't be Catholic either.
No. Goodness. Okay. So back to Sophie and Robert. They find a secret message on the key. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, that happened. Okay. Oh, wait. But I did want to say that now in the movie is when we meet the bishop.
Oh, and, wow.
And he is in like this, it almost seems like a church head meeting. And he just tells everyone about the teacher. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. This is for him. Whereas in the book, he was very secretive and very much like, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. This is for me, because he's supposed to keep the teacher a secret.
Right.
And then I also liked that in the book, they make you think that Aringa Rosa is a bad guy up until the very end. In the movie, you can tell that he's a good guy, like right away. Did you feel that? Or was that just me knowing? Oh, that might have just been me knowing.
It might have just been you knowing. Okay. I don't know. I think I also had mixed thoughts because he's
Dr. Rock. Yeah.
So I'm like, bad guy. So I don't know. I thought he was a bad guy, though. He was talking with Silas, so that's why I thought he was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So now we're at... back to Fash, and he realized they got away. So he put all these precaution calls in at all the banks and stuff.
He did not do that in the movie.
Okay.
Sorry, it took me a second. I was like, didn't he do that? No.
So back to Robert, and he spoke about the Knights Templar and the Holy Grail. What?
Nope, keep going.
And then they drive off to find some place to lie low.
They don't talk about the Templar or the Holy Grail in the movie. Robert acts as though he knows nothing about the Holy Grail, about the Priory of Sion, about any of this. So this is never a conversation him and Sophie have in the movie.
Nope.
At all.
So Silas... Oh, you go.
Oh, wait, no. This is in the armored car, though. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Silas thought about taking his own life because he feels so guilty for killing all these people. But he didn't want to put the bishop in danger, so he decided not to. Like, what the... This guy's challenged.
But also, like, killing yourself is not... in the Catholic Church, that's very...
right.
Not good.
I know. I'm not saying he should have killed himself. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he has so many issues.
Oh, he does. He does. Yeah. His problem is he wants love. And so he finds it in the person who's showing him the affection that he needs.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Silas thought... Oh. That's okay.
Oh, no, you already said that. That's okay. Why I went. Yeah.
Okay. Robert didn't believe that Sophie's grandfather was one of the main four, like that knew about the Grail. But Sophie's like, okay, like I know he is, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't get brought up here.
And so the bishop met with some men and got some money.
And that happened when I just talked about it.
Okay. So Sophie went to the bank where their key was from. And how did they remember that it was, how did they know it was from that bank?
Because the back of the little note on the key was the address.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they also need an account number to get into this vault. And the bank, you know, secretly is tipping off the police. And they spoke to the bank manager, who actually was a friend of Sonier.
Sinclair is her last name in the movie.
Oh, maybe that's why I kept getting confused. Okay.
It's Sonier.
Okay. And then it clicks. They're like, oh, those numbers, they weren't just an anagram numbers. That's the account number from the very beginning. And they got into the safe and there's a box and it has like liquid inside of it, but it's like they can't see it. Oh, yeah, because it's a
crypt. Oh, wait. No, they don't know that yet. You're right. It's just got liquid in it.
Yes, they haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, they don't know it's a cryptex.
And the manager escorts them out.
Yeah, that happens in the movie. Okay. Yeah.
So Silas spoke to the teacher about them being tricked for the location.
That doesn't happen.
Okay.
I don't think. I don't remember seeing that happen.
I don't either.
Okay. I don't remember anything. So. My favorite part of this is Allie kept... she was reading the book and like, Bree, it's been spot on. It's been spot on. What haven't you liked? I think
for the most part, all the big things happen. They have been. Yeah.
But
soon we're going to get to the were they not. But
I was going
to
say, I think their first big screw up is not having Langdon be a freaking scholar in the Holy Grail and the Knights Templar and researching the Priory of Sion.
Yes.
But that's my beef.
All right. So they open the box and it's cryptex. And Robert doesn't know what this is, but Sophie explained it all to him because it's a code thing, which her and her grandpa did all the time. And she shares that not only is her grandpa one of the four, he's the leader of it. And the car like parks. Oh, because they went into an armored car. The bank manager escorted them out and drove them away. And he comes out and then he points a gun at them. And the guy shot a warning shot telling Robert to hand over the box. And Robert sneakily puts the bullet in the door so the door won't close. And his plan worked. They got the box back and they drove off and left this guy there. And Robert and Sophie needed somewhere to hide. And Robert knew someone who was obsessed with the Holy Grail. So they went there. And that's where we find Lee. And he asks them three British questions before letting them enter because he's British and he does not like the French. And
yeah.
He's very proud of
being Brit.
Yes.
Okay. So in the armored truck, rather than the whole entire conversation that they just had, which is what they should have had in the movie, Sophie and Langdon go about talking, are you religious? And, oh, I'm not really religious. Are you religious? I'm like, what? Wait, what? What? And then, like we said, he was having a panic attack. So then Sophie puts her hands on his temples to try and help him calm down. She does like weird acupressure points. And then when the banker pulls over to try to get the box, he goes, 20 years I've been waiting for someone to get that box.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's going to steal it.
Yeah.
When he's supposed to be protecting it.
Yeah. I was like, what in the heck? He doesn't say that at all in the book. Mm-mm. What? And then one of my things that made me upset is one of the questions that gets asked in the movie is, how do you take your tea with milk or lemon? In the book, it's, do you take it with milk or sugar? Because it's a trick question and Langdon has to go, no, it's with lemon. I was like, wow, they just gave that answer right off the bat. That's stupid. Oh, and the other reason why they end up going to Lee's is because Langdon says he's in over his head and he doesn't understand anything about the Holy Grail. So he needs to go get help from someone who knows more.
Guys, I wish you could see her face right now. She's so mad.
When he said it, I literally was like, what are you? What? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and then when they get into Lee's house, he goes, I'm in something I can't make sense of. I was so mad. Okay.
Okay. So the bank reported their truck being hijacked and missing.
That did not happen in the movie.
Okay. So we met, meet Lee for the first time, and he has leg braces because he has had polio as a kid, and he's teaching them all about the what?
The Holy Brain.
Oh my gosh. I was doing like five different things last night at once. Oh my gosh. So he explains that it's a woman, and Robert explains the symbolism.
Wait, what is a woman? We've only just been sitting here laughing about the Holy Frame.
The Holy Grail. montage explains that it's a woman and that Robert explains the symbolism with it.
Yeah. So in the book, part of the reason why he went to Lee's was because he was going to explain the symbolism of the Holy Grail to her, but was like, but it would be better to also have the historical scholar telling you this too. So that's why they went to do that in the movie, because Langdon doesn't know jack about this. It's all just the historical content. And then Lee like asks, my dear Langdon, what are the symbols for this and for this? And then he's also then showing Robert about the symbols, which frustrates me. Oh, and then in the movie, Langdon and Lee like hardcore argue over this. And it makes me upset because like in the book, it just seemed like two scholars who were just having like a friendly debate, like getting excited and talking about it. In the movie, they were like yelling at each other. I was like, oof, okay. And then my next note is, what the fuck is wrong with Langdon? Oh, and Langdon fucked up the Lee scene.
Okay. Oh, gosh. All right. So Silas has a gun and is headed somewhere, and he plans not to disappoint the teacher and the bishop. Where could it be?
No idea.
So then we got... Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. That didn't happen.
Okay. So then we get...
Wait. No, we get a phone... We see him get a phone call with the address of where he needs to go.
Okay.
That's it.
So then details about the Last Supper painting. We're with Lee again. And about how Mary Magdalene is the wife of Jesus, and she is his baby mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lee does all that, but he doesn't ask, or he, rather than having Langdon also chime in and be like, oh, don't forget that look if you see this. It's instead, like I said, Lee asking about it.
Okay, so the bishop calls a number, and he speaks to, or he spoke to the French police. So now it's like, his readers were like, wait,
is Fash involved in this? Yes,
exactly.
That does not happen in the movie.
I do not happen in the movie.
I don't happen in the movie, and neither does this. Yeah, no, the bishop and the police never talk to each other, which then makes me wonder how the heck the bishop finds Silas at the end, but whatever. Yeah.
Then we go back to Lee again. There's more details about the family tree and Jesus and all that sort of stuff. And we find out that Jesus' daughter's name is Sarah, and explains all these clues are pointing to the truth of the Grail. And Sophie and Robert share that they have the keystone, and Silas is outside and he hears this.
Yeah. So we see Silas come up to the chateau during this. But that's it.
Okay. So the police have the house cornered, but Fash tells them to wait because he wants to come there and get all the credit, which is, I guess he doesn't say that. The detective.
Colette assumes that.
Yeah, but I mean, accurate.
Yeah. I want to say in the movie that this doesn't happen, but the cops do come. So who's to say that they didn't surround the place before we saw it? But in the movie, this scene specifically does not happen.
Yes. So Lee got the key and was so excited, but Robert gets smacked upside the head with the gun by Silas. They fought Silas, and then they were off because the police were about to break in. They brought Silas with them, and Remy, who's...
manservant.
Yep. And so the police found all his cars, and they saw one was missing, and they knew they were off into the woods, and they were on their way to Lee's private airfield. And Robert on the way called his publisher and found out they sent a manuscript over to Sonier, which explained why he wanted to meet with him. And they got to the airspace, flew to London, and Lee gave a lecture about if Sophie believed that she was ready for the responsibility of the Grail.
So Silas full-on beats up Robert. It's not just one smack in the head. It's like they go at it for a little bit, which I get why they did it in a movie, because that would be dumb to just see him just conk him on the head. But I was like, what? And then one of the things that really makes me upset is that the manuscript copy didn't get sent to Sonya in the movie. So then at the end of the movie, I sat there and I was like, so then why the fuck did Sonya want to talk to Langdon? Like, there's no reason for it.
Right.
So I was very upset about that.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing that happens that I was like, what in the heck? Yeah. In the book, Lee talks about how they need Silas alive to help clear Langdon and Sophie's name. In the movie, Lee just goes to kill Silas once they're like running away from the cops. He's like, how dare you break into my home? And Langdon's one that's like, hey, we shouldn't kill him.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
All right. So Fash spoke to the manager of the bank, who agreed to give him all the help he needed as long as the bank would remain out of the media. And he was able to get back what was stolen because they believe that the keystone or the cryptex was stolen.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in the... Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie.
Okay. So.
There is a scene where Fash goes and talks to him in the hospital. And I'm pretty sure he just has to keep the bank out of the media.
Perfect. That works.
Yep.
Okay. So the men were looking at the key and they had writing on it. And they didn't recognize any of this. But Sophie did. But they were being typical...
men.
They're smarter than the woman over there. Mm-hmm. But she looks at it and she's like, well, it means this. And they converted the clue into English and they were trying to solve it.
At the key? Are you sure? It was the box, right?
Yeah. Sure. It was the box.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of these clues.
It was the box because in the movie, Langdon sees it and goes, we need a mirror. When it's Sophie who sees it and notices it because that was her grandfather's way of writing to her sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh cool, Langdon just knows exactly about this. And also on the box in the book, there's only like a short little clue. In the movie, there's two of the clues from the book in one on the box. So they like read this whole thing but then only focus on the last bit of it.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
All right. So, Fash tries to arrest the dispatch pilot, but he gave him information that, hey, they flew to London. Like, there's your info. And he's like, okay, thanks. And they go off to London.
I remember the pilot getting beat. This kind of happens, but it's not Fash face.
I know.
Fash doesn't try to arrest the pilot. He just kind of intimidates him into getting the information.
Okay. So Sophie shares about that ritual she walked in on her grandpa during, and apparently it was a sex ritual, so she walked in on him, like, climaxing. So that would be a sight that I would never want to see.
Your grandpa climaxing? Oh,
God, stop it.
With a group full of people.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one. It was like a bunch of people all around watching. It was,
chanting.
No. Yes, no thank you.
So Sophie explains that in the movie, but Langdon never clarifies for her what it is.
Yeah, he goes into details and explains the whole reason for it.
Yeah, and like, I mean, why the priory does it.
Don't know if that would have helped me or not. I would have been like, it's still gross.
I mean, well... Would you rather think that your grandpa's just a sicko who has a bunch of people watch him or understand why?
Then I think he's crazy for a different reason. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, and the thing too is in the book, this is the main reason why her and her grandfather had a falling out. In the movie, this is not the reason why they had a falling out.
All right, so the bishop is on his way to England now because he's staying updated with everything.
This is not the bishop just is hanging out with the church like the whole time up until the end, and I'm kind of confused how and why he gets to where he gets. I'm like, what tipped you off?
All right. So the word Sophie, but spelled S-O-F-I-A, is the answer to the cryptex. Because there's five. But okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
So it opened the cryptex book, right? Okay. In the movie, they're like, if you know, we only get one answer, and it's like, if it's wrong, it's going to break the vinegar. Didn't they try it like a bunch in the. Okay. I was like,
they just had to be dramatic flair. No, it's just if you pull it too hard, that's what will happen. Okay. So you can try to pull,
but
the second it gives you some like fight back, don't continue to pull. You stop and you go and guess again.
Okay.
Or not. Hopefully you have ideas. You don't guess. But
right.
You're just sitting there.
See, all the 12 million possible. It's like it's like Wordle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have five spaces, but you don't get the green and yellow.
So one of them might be right, but you don't know. This didn't happen in the movie. And I kind of feel like this was almost one of the times where Sophie started softening up to her grandpa, because she was like, oh, my name is basically one of the clues that he used. Like, that's kind of sweet, even though it was also tied in with everything he believed. Yeah, this was not the case in the movie. There's only one cryptex.
Yep. Then we jump to the police, and a bunch of names and dates were shared, and one of them was Nicholas Flamel.
I was like
zoning out throughout like the names, because there was like a freaking like 50 names they read and dates, like birth and death, and one of them was Nicholas Flamel.
Actually, like, I do remember reading that.
I'm like, what? It's just so funny because I'm reading the first Harry Potter to Riley right now, and we're on the chapter Nicholas Flamel, so I just was like so cool. Anyways, okay. So the driver of the armored car called the police, and they decided to move and not tell Fash. Oh, because they figured out where, they figured out something about Robert and Sophie, and so he's like, "I'm gonna go and
take
the lead on this and not tell Fash."
Yes,
I don't remember.
Can't remember what he figured out.
I don't either. Good notes, Allison.
Very good. Especially since that does not happen. Okay. So,
all right. So, dispatch called the plane and let them know, hey, there's been a gas leak. So, you need to come park at the main terminal. And they knew this was a trap. And so, Lee parked in his personal spot anyways. And the police showed up. And shared that the French police told them that Robert and Sophie might be on board and a hostage. And Lee's like pissed off. He's like, I have a doctor's appointment and I am leaving now.
I cannot
be late. Uh-huh. And you're not allowed to board my plane because it's private property. You need a warrant and all this sort of stuff. And, but they board the plane anyways and it's empty. And he's like, you'll be hearing from my lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then we get it from Robert and Sophie's point of view, and they like dipped out when the plane was like turning, so they were all sneaky and everything like that.
So they didn't get a call to know that the cops were going to be there, but they somehow knew that the cops were going to be there. So this scene happens and we get to see Sophie and Robert's point of view too, but it's kind of confusing why.
Yes.
They just assume, like, oh, they're coming after us. Right. I'll do this.
They're on their way to a church, which is where Lee believes that the next clue is. And the altar boy there is like, you're not allowed in here. But Lee has this lie all ready to go. And so finally he lets them in.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't, I mean, they go to the church, but they don't, there's no altar boy.
So then we hear inside Silas's head, and he's just so upset because he's like, oh my gosh, why am I going to die a hostage? Like, God, why did you do this to me? Type of thing.
Mm-hmm. You don't really see Silas again until later.
Okay. So Fash is interrogating.
Wait, actually, until soon.
Okay. Fash is interrogating the pilot and finds out that they were talking about the cryptex. And the bishop calls and is upset because Fash didn't stop the plane to save Silas. What is going on with him?
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Okay. They're looking at tombs and they find the correct spot and everything like that, but or to find the correct spot. And the altar boy's like, these aren't tombs. Like, you would know that based on the lie that they shared. And Remy, who's is the manservant, grabs this kid, and Silas grabs Sophie, puts a gun to her, and Robert's like threatening to break the cryptex if they...
No one grabs the altar boy.
Why did the altar boy pee his pants then? Just he was scared of the gun and everything?
I think so. Okay. Because Remy's hidden, because he's not supposed to be known.
I thought this is when he shows himself.
Yes, but he only does because Robert is threatening to break the cryptex and he just... Oh, I guess he probably does come in, but... Okay, Allie didn't explain it well.
So, I don't like this book. I don't. Took bad notes. I don't even care.
Remy comes in after Robert is threatening to break the cryptex. And then he grabs the altar boy and is like, now, does he? I still don't feel like he grabs the altar boy.
Well, the altar boy pees his pants. So I do know that. Maybe he's just scared and he runs away.
I think so, because then Remy grabs Lee as the hostage.
Well, I knew that part.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, in the movie, when they get into this chapel, they're confused why the Priory wants to keep the Grail a secret. Whereas in the book, that's all they've been telling Sophie. Like, the reason they're keeping it a secret is because it could change everything. Like, some people don't want to believe it. Other people do. It's going to change the course of history. But in the movie, they're like, we don't know why. Why is this something that they're keeping a secret? Who knows? And of course, Langdon is not a part of this because Langdon doesn't know crap about it. And then when they're in there looking at what they think are the tombs, Langdon is the one that looks down and is like, there's no bodies here. I'm like, how do you know? Just by looking at the ground, looking at this thing that looks like a tomb.
Right.
Like, what? And then Langdon basically, when Silas comes in and does all of that, Langdon's like, now hold on here. And then Remy comes in. It's not because Langdon is going to break the cryptex. It's just because he's like, oh, Silas can't handle this. I gotta go help.
So then we have backstory on Remy, and we find out that he is the only one who knows the true identity of the teacher. And this is when he has a gun pointed at Lee, and Robert hands over the cryptex, and Remy, Silas, and Lee leave.
Yeah, that happens.
Okay. Robert and Sophie...
Well, I mean, we don't hear the backstory, but...
Yeah. Robert and Sophie go to a religious library, and the librarian helps them find what they need on the Grail.
My note on this in the movie is that Robert, like in the book, he's very specific about the library he chooses. He's like, we got to go here because this is the one that Lee always uses to look up things for the Grail. In the movie, he just goes, I need to find a library. And then what makes it even worse is the library ends up being a search on a smartphone. It's not even on a smartphone. It's on an old school phone. They just go on the internet on the phone to find this Holy Grail stuff.
It's out there, people.
No sense. I was like, what? They're on a bus and they're like, oh, we're not gonna get there in time. Darn.
Okay. So Silas, Remy, and Lee show up at a location and they check in. Like, I don't really understand. Do they get to like a hotel or something? Like, they checked in. There was a receptionist lady.
No. Silas goes to the Opus Dei, like, hostel, basically.
Oh, okay.
But before that, they're just in the car.
Okay.
Talking.
Got it. All right.
And then Remy tells Silas that he should go to the Opus Dei hostel so that the teacher can contact him, blah, blah, blah.
Got it.
Or wait, no. The teacher calls him while he's in the car and tells him to go there.
So Fash calls the Opus Dei place, mm-hmm. and she confirms that Silas is there.
Yeah. Well... So in the book, at this point, Silas also asks Remy, he's like, you're the teacher, because he's like, wow, you were on their side, and then all of a sudden you're on my side, and he's like, no, I'm not. In the movie, Remy Fallon is like, yes, I am. I was like, wow, okay. fun.
So, okay, so Remy dies.
Yeah.
Teacher kills Remy because he didn't want his identity to be revealed.
Yes. He was poisoned.
Yes.
With something that he's very allergic to. Peanuts. Yes. And that happens in the movie.
Okay. Okay. So.
Except for I really like in the book that they, at this point, still keep the teacher's identity a secret. Whereas in the movie, this is where you find out who the teacher is.
Yes. So we.
I also don't like how they do it in the movie. I don't.
Which one do you like better?
Movie.
So they find the clue, and thanks to the database in the library, and they're off to Westminster Abbey to look for Isaac Newton's tomb.
This did not happen because they were looking for it on a bus with a phone.
Okay, Silas woke up.
Woke up.
He's woke. Silas woke up and he sensed something was wrong. So he ran out of his room and he saw police officers and he's like busting them past them. And he grabs some guns and he starts shooting them. And then he hears Silas, no, and he turns and he shoots and he shot the bishop.
Oh, and he does run out. Okay. I thought there was a difference here, but there's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, except for he's not asleep. He's in the middle of praying and then he hears sirens.
So Sophie and Robert went to where they're supposed to be, and the teacher was there too, but he was having trouble solving it. So he set up a plan to lure them to help him, and he like lures them back into a room so it's just them and he's like threatens Lee and all this sort of stuff, and it turns out that Lee is the teacher.
Mm-hmm. He is. This happens, but not. So when Sophie and Robert get to the tomb, they're looking around, and then Sophie looks down and is like, look, Robert, there's cane marks here. And then Lee comes around. They don't go into a new room that's hidden away. They're just in the middle where it's super busy. They're like, oh, Lee, you're the bad guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Also, the one thing, because the Silas scene that Allie just talked about happens now, and Silas dies in the movie. He does not die in the book. But it's
what? He doesn't die?
No.
Definitely have a note that says he dies, so. What happens to him?
He just goes to the hospital with Ring Rosa, and so, like, at the end, him and Ring Rosa have a moment together, and they're like, basically, we got played, but we are very much in the wrong too. So we really need to absolve for our sins.
Do not know how I missed that. Oh, I thought he died.
Either that's hilarious. Good thing I said it. I get it because for the movie they need some kind of happy ending, but I don't like it.
Okay. Okay. So backstory on Lee and how he's been this teacher the whole time and all the like. Details about what he's done and throughout the whole book from his side of the view as the teacher. And mm-hmm. He tries to make a pact with them to solve this last clue, but Sophie's like, no, you killed my grandfather. I'm not working with you.
Yeah. That kind of happens.
Okay. There's background on why the bishop started all of this, which is because the Catholic Church is like, we're done. Your Opus Dei is not working with us. So.
Mm-hmm.
He was not very happy about that.
We don't get that, but what we do get is Fash being at the scene where Silas dies and him and the bishop are talking. And we find out that the bishop told Fash that Langdon confessed to him about killing Saunier, when in actuality in the book, how Silas got a meeting with Saunier is that he confessed to killing Sonier's family and having details about the car accident that killed his daughter and son. And so that's what made him trust him to have him come to the Louvre and then get killed. So they at least put that part in. It's just that they made the wrong characters confess.
Okay.
Or lie about confessing, I should say.
Lee, Sophie, and Robert were all arguing, and in the end, Robert throws it on the ground, drops the quick text, and it broke, but he sneakily took out the paper first, so he has the last clue, or a clue.
clue, a clue. So,
oh, and Lee was arrested.
In the movie, Lee makes Sophie open the cryptex, not Langdon. In the book, Lee gives Langdon the cryptex because he's like, he's trying to give good faith and be like, here, don't hate me so much for being the bad guy. I'll give this to you to let you know that you can trust me. In the movie, he doesn't want Langdon to touch it because he doesn't know. And she is the person that was trusted to be the keeper of the grail. And I was like, that makes no sense because he's a symbology person. Why are you giving it? Whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. Because then in the book too, Langdon, when they're having like a conversation with Lee about like, should we give you, or he's thinking about how he's gonna answer or something, and when he says, he responds to Lee, he says something, and then he says basically, and even if I did, and then he stops because he realizes what he's about to say will really screw him over, but even what he said was enough for Lee to guess what he was going to say. In the movie, Sophie just full on says, even if I did know the password to the cryptex, I still wouldn't tell you. I was like, oh, okay. Just give it all there. Oh, and in the movie, Langdon relocks the cryptex. So when Robert throws the cryptex and breaks it, Lee falls down because he's trying to catch it. And then when he's sitting there and like trying to mess with it, he can open it and see that it's empty. And so he knows that Langdon has the map. But in the movie, Langdon's locked it again before he throws it and it breaks. And so Lee, as he's getting carried out by the cops, are like, he broke it. He lost the map to the grail. And then he turns and is like, how could you, a scholar, break that? And then he like looks at him and is like, oh, you didn't, you sneaky boy. You have the map. But I was like, that makes no sense. Also, if he's a scholar about this, why hasn't he been a scholar this whole movie?
I know. So we're at the part where Silas does not die.
He goes to the hospital.
Yep.
With the bishop.
Yep. And the bishop lived and he wanted all the money to go to the families of the people who died.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen.
Okay. Sophie and Robert went to the last place on the location, which is where most people believe the grail is. So Robert's like, it's not going to be here. And Sophie recognized this place because she went with her grandfather. And there was this little house in the back, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where she went. And the guy was there, he was like giving tours. And he let Robert know that his grandmother had a box just like the one that Robert was holding. And it turns out that that's Sophie's brother. And her grandmother is the one who lives in the house back there. And Robert wanted some answers. And so him and the grandmother spoke for a while about all the mysteries. And him and Sophie said goodbye.
Okay. So, in the movie, they find all of this underneath the church. Well, they don't, not even all of this. What am I saying? They go to the church and they go down underneath the church and they find everything they're looking for. The Holy Grail documents where they thought that Mary Magdalene was buried, but Mary Magdalene is not there. And then, so now, freaking Robert is like, oh, I can't even remember how he does this. This is where the whole entire movie just gets all kinds of fucked up. My note is, end is fucked. But, so Sophie and her grandfather, they fought because she wanted to know about her family and not because of the sex ritual. Like I said. The main thing here is Robert then tells Sophie that he is pretty certain that Sonia is not her grandfather. Which is like, what? So then there's this whole elaborate thing that the priory was made to keep her secret because her and her brother are actually, oh wait, no, not her brother, because everyone's dead. Sorry. Her whole family does die in the movie. So she's the last living relative of Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And so the priory has been sent to keep her safe. And so that's who Sonia was. He was just a priory member who got chosen to keep her safe. So then after this, they come up the stairs into the church and all of the priory is there to welcome them there. And then Sophie's grandma shows up and it's like, Sophie, this is the priory. We are all here to protect you. My note is at least the grandma shows up. Oh, at least grandma shows up just very, very incorrectly. And then, oh, at the end of the movie, the whole obsession with Robert falling into the well is in the movie just so that right here, Langdon can give Sophie a speech about like how when he was down in the well, he prayed to Jesus and Jesus helped him through. And so he was like, so I was not alone in that well. So just know you're not alone in this path that you're going to have to walk now. Yeah, that's my note.
Okay. Okay, the book ends with Robert waking up and he's figuring out the last part of the clue. And it brought him back to the Louvre, which is where the Holy Grail is. So it was like one stupid circle.
I know. How sad.
I was like, couldn't have just said it's right there.
Yeah. Look, it's here. No, because they had to keep everyone else away from it.
Oh, gosh.
That happens in the movie, too, except for I thought it was hilarious because in the book, Robert actually goes into the Louvre to go to the pyramid underneath the huge inverted pyramid because the small pyramid is where her burial place is. In the movie, he stays on top of the inverted pyramid and kneels down there.
Wouldn't you, like, if you worked at the Louvre, like, wouldn't you, like, know?
You would hope. But maybe they secretly put it in there.
So weird.
I don't know.
All right, we did it.
But also, like, in the movie. Gosh,
we haven't yet.
But also, like, in the movie, in my head, like, the pyramid itself is, like, where she's resting. In the movie, it goes down underneath. So, obviously, movie-wise, yes, you would have to know because there's a whole entire other room underneath the Louvre. Okay. Now we're done.
All right. Thank goodness. Goodness.
You're done.
Yes, I am done with this book.
Almost.
Okay, IMDb cast 101 people.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot, actually.
It is. Okay, Robert Langdon was played by Tom Hanks.
I like him. I think he's a good Robert.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me.
He's very studious.
Yep. Audrey, what did we say?
Tatau.
Sophie.
What's funny is the first time I saw it, I didn't like her as Audrey. Or as Audrey. As Sophie. This time, I thought she was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Ian McKellen. Oh, that's funny. Played Sir Lee Teeming.
I also really love in the book, he makes a joke about, or maybe he doesn't make a joke. Maybe Langdon just does. But basically, the book makes a joke about how, like, knighting people nowadays isn't because they're actually doing chivalrous things. It's just because. And then I was like, that's hilarious that a knight plays the knight.
That's so funny.
I was kind of upset because Lee is supposed to, like, in my head, he's not an older man. He's this, like, redhead. He's, like, maybe 40. But I love how Ian plays it, so he's a good bad guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it was really funny. I think it was at the gate when they were answering the questions before they let him in. And he ended with, "You may pass," or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, you shall not pass. And then they get in, and it's freaking Gandalf. And I was like, what? My mind was blown.
That's weird.
Okay. Jean Reno, Captain Fash.
I love him. He's one of my favorite actors.
He said about so many actors.
I know. I love actors. But I do. He's a good... I love him.
He did
him.
Good.
Yeah.
Paul Bettany, Silas.
Like I said at the beginning of this, because of what he went through, oh my gosh.
He's really, really good.
I wasn't even going to recast you anyways, but now you're like, you're in everything.
Yep, I liked him.
Yeah. Only thing I wish is that they put red contacts in instead of white, but whatever.
Okay. Alfred Molina played Bishop Averigarosa.
It's funny because when I read it this time, I couldn't remember exactly who was cast for what, except for Tom Hanks. And so like the whole time I was reading for the bishop, I kept seeing him. And I was like, why the hell is this who keeps popping up in my head? And then
that's why.
Yeah. So good job. Yep.
Works.
Yeah.
Jean-Yves
Bertlut.
Yeah. Plays Remy.
Yeah, he was good.
Yep.
He was a good evil dude. Mm-hmm. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Do the characters stay true to how they are?
No.
Not at all.
I think really it's just...
It's fucking Robert.
Robert. The rest of them do.
Yeah, but like, how do you make your main character an idiot about all of what the main storyline is? That's what I want to know. How did that go through Ron Howard's head? Like, yes, it's what we do. Yes, perfect. Great. You are not a Grail enthusiast.
What was he thinking?
He was not. That's what. Which do we prefer?
What do you prefer?
I prefer the damn book.
I didn't like either of them, but the movie's shorter. It's the only reason. Like, yeah, no, I'm not going to. I don't even like saying that I like the movie better because I did not. But I could finish it faster. Guys, I'm so over this. I'm so glad we're done with it.
So wait, but if given like the book and the movie,
I would do the movie because it's shorter. We can pretend.
No.
No, I'm going to go movie because it's short. It's not even short. I remember watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is over yet. It's freaking a whole another hour left. It's 2.5 hour movie. I was like, oh my gosh. So over.
Yeah. Well, my thing is like, it's a 2 hour movie where like they kind of stick to the story for the first hour and then all hell breaks loose and everything is getting really fucked. And I'm like, what? How do you go from being okay to being horrible?
Oh, no. Oh well, it's which over.
Then makes me remember because when I read it and then went and watched it in middle school, I left that theater livid. I was so pissed. I was so mad. I was like, I had been reading the book to purposely go and see the movie in theaters, but I was slow at reading it and I finished the book the day we went and watched the movie. Mm-hmm. So I had all of the ending in my head.
Which is the part they messed up the most.
Yeah. So like I just sat there and was like, that's not right. That's not right. So and that happened yet again.
Yep. All right, you guys. Sneak peek for the week.
We've got a mini-sode coming at ya.
Yep. And then Paper Towns.
Allie's first John Green book.
Yeah, I really wonder if I liked it.
Oh. I was like, you know. And then I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love John Green, so he's one of my favorites.
All right. Very cool.
All right.
Okay.
See you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Oh, wait, technically, I'll see you on Wednesday. Bye.
Gotta add that fix in there.
Thanks for sticking with us. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed, rate, and reviewed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.